The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, I'm delighted that Stuart Carlin, old friend of The Last Word, is here, creator of Taken Down, and Tabby Ragagoo, who plays Nina in Taken Down. Thank you very much, both of you, for joining us. Tabby, you have spent how many years living in direct provision in Ireland?
Just under 4 years.
Okay, so playing this part was playing part of your experience, was it?
Well, I mean, I play a sex worker, so...
Not that.
No, not really.
The direct provision part, though.
Yes, that part was real. Yes, so it was in Kilmainham in Tathany House, which I believe is actually closed down now. But yes, that's where I spent my formative years.
What was it like?
Honestly, I do think as a child, you are sort of... not sheltered, but unaware. I mean, I'm pretty sure I would have a very different story to my parents. I do remember little things like, you know, going to school and, you know, kids would go to each other's houses, but, you know, we don't really have a house that you could come to. We didn't have a playground. It was a two-bedroom situation with my family, three siblings. So, I mean, in a way, it was kind of sheltered and I didn't sort of realise this situation. I was only, you know, nine years of age.
I was just about to ask you what
age
you were.
I was 9 years of age. I remember playing in the corridors with all the other kids. But I was saying to Stuart, actually, just when we were chatting about this, like you'd remember little moments that now, looking back, are strange, that, like, you know, you'd have a cleaner who would come and do the rounds and would knock, but wouldn't wait for an answer and would just come in, and he'd always have his earphones in and just a pleasant, nice man. Come and hoover and then just leave. Just so little things like that, that now, you know, as an adult with my own space, I would find strange for somebody to knock and just walk in.
Yeah, and in retrospect, you sort of now think more about what it must have been like for your parents.
Yeah, now I do. It's something that I probably wouldn't ask them, just because I know it wasn't the best times. So it's not something that I would sort of ask. Even when I knew I was doing this, I did think maybe I should reach out, but then I thought, you know what? No, there's enough stories out there that we kind of all know what direct provision is really like without having to.
But what is, I mean, suppose what we think of as well is people coming to this country not being able to work, right, is one thing. And I suppose, you know, the sort of the boredom of that and the sort of the frustration if you do want to work and if you want to make a living for yourself, that's one thing that strikes me. Mm. The lack of privacy that you've already referred to, the fact that you're on a very small income with a provided diet, almost like a form of prison, or is it?
It is, in a way. And the reason I say this is because you don't have a choice as to... Very few direct provision centres actually have their own kitchens where you could actually cook. You eat what you were told to eat, do you know? Which is it's a strange thing to... If you yourself put yourself in that situation, like, I have to eat what I'm told to eat Monday through to Sunday. I have curfew. A grown person has a curfew. You have to be in some centres by 10 o'clock. If you're not, then there's repercussions for that. So just little things like that, and the fact that a lot of them are outside of the main cities. Like, for example, if we say Mosney in County Meath, what buses go there? Are you going to be spending your €18 a week discovering the city, you know? So it's hard to integrate when you put people in that situation where they can't just, you know, maybe go into town, go to a museum or, you know, see the sights.
And you mentioned repercussions if you break curfew. What sort of repercussions?
I mean, I wouldn't know specifically for some of them, but they did have a three strikes sort of policy. I won't speak on what the repercussions were, but I do know for sure that you had curfew and you only had a certain amount of times that you could be out after hours.
And maybe as a child you don't get a sense of this because you just adapt and get on.
You're in bed by 8 o'clock.
But for an adult as well, if this is running on, in your case, 4 years, we've heard of so many cases of families, 9 years.
Yeah.
What must that be like, this whole thing of having to wait to know what your future is going to be allowed to be?
I mean, what I do remember is sort of the GNIB process and having to get up, you know, super early and go to the keys to the bureau headquarters, and you're queuing from 4 a.m. I'm sure, I mean, there was articles written at the time with people queuing around the block only to go in and there's 3 out of 16 cubbies open, you know, and you're there all day. It was an all-day event. You all had to be present at that. It wasn't a case of the parents would go, the kids were in school, everybody had to show their face. The actual guard had to look at you and go, yes, they're still here, yes, they're still here, yes, they're still here. So for people to have to go through that for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, not knowing, you know, where their fate lies, you know, you always have that fear of, I could wake up 7 years later having sent my kids throughout their whole primary education in this country and be told, you can't stick around anymore, you have to go. Like, then where do you go?
Stuart Carlin, it sort of strikes me that some, perhaps there is some evil mind somewhere in bureaucracy. You're thinking, well, if you make people wait this long, they'll actually just go back to where they came from and we won't actually have to make a decision to keep them. And we'll also send out some sort of signal to other people, oh, don't go to Ireland or else you'll get stuck in this sort of debt wreck provision for many, many years. Yeah, Am I too much of a conspiracy theorist?
No, I think you're 100% right. I think you're 100% right. I mean, this has gone on since 1999, 2000. This was supposed to be a temporary system. It's been on for years and years and years and years and years. And something that Tabby said to me before, said that, you know, we look at things like the Magdalene laundries from years ago and look about those kind of unjust, inhumane systems. And this is happening right now.
This is the 21st century version.
Yeah, this is happening right now. And it's an inhumane system and shouldn't be allowed.
And yet, how much sympathy is there from people towards those who are in direct provision?
I think that what happens is sometimes we're aware of it, or people are aware of it and they don't pay attention to it. So it's something that it comes up from time to time, and you hear about it and you read the reports and then you don't really read the reports. So I think when people see it, and so if you see it on Taken Down or if you saw a documentary about it, I think then it brings home the reality of those things that Tabby talked about, the humiliations, the sense of being in almost like a prison-like environment. I think when people see that, they might have sympathy. And one of the things that I found with Taken Down, or the reaction when you're just talking to different people about it, this sounds really simple, but the fact that the kids spoke with Dublin accents was a big thing for many people. And they go, oh, they're Irish kids. And you go, yes, they're Irish kids. They've been in the system for long. They're Irish kids. That's a thing. So you know, and this goes right back to the sense of basic rights. If you're born in Ireland now, it doesn't mean you're Irish.
No, because of the referendum that we had in 2004, which many people think was a rather cruel approach.
Yeah.
Just denying somebody born on this island the right to citizenship if their parents weren't citizens.
Yeah, 100%. So maybe that's something we could look at changing.
When what I found when I was, sort of speaking to my own friends who would have gone through the system, is that a lot of people, even just, you know, my Irish friends, they know direct provision exists and they know sort of the shell. This is the place where refugees are kind of put into while we figure out what we're doing. But like the laundries, not to sort of put too much point a point on it, like the laundries, we knew they existed. We knew that that's where unwed mothers who were pregnant went. But it's only now that we discovered what actually happened there. So I do think there is a general idea. People do know what direct provision is, but they don't quite get it. They don't understand what happens.
I'm going to play just a clip from Taken Down from the opening episode. And this is where direct provision is explained to one of the main characters, who we later discover has actually stayed in the centre for 8 years.
I am submitting an application for asylum for you. If the application is accepted, you will be granted asylum and protection in Ireland. While the case has been assessed, you and your children will be housed in temporary accommodation called a direct provision centre, where your basic needs of food and shelter will be provided.
Our new home be this place now. How long will it take before I know if we can stay in your country, sir?
The processing can take a number of weeks or months.
What got you interested in this, Stuart? For a drama? Because you are making a drama what is an entertainment for people to watch on a Sunday evening.
Well, I think it was the co-writer Joe Spain was interested in it primarily. So Joe started off being interested in it. So that's how I got interested too. I mean, I was interested anyway, but so Joe was interested and thought it was the great injustice and we should look at it. So that's what happened. And then and I think it's something that when we looked at it, what we wanted to do was something that's not a typical police procedural, which is you're 70% in the police station, 30% dealing with this other world. What we decided to do was actually really explore this. So what was key was saying, let's starting with the character of a Benny, rather than just starting with a victim. So we really spend the opening showing her journey and where she's come from.
And looking at some of the figures, it's quite extraordinary to think that we still had, at the end of last year, the last year for which we have stats, over 5,000 men, women and children, 801 families living in the 34 direct provision centres across Ireland, because we've had so many reports in recent years and we've had so many people giving out about it, and yet it seems that nothing has actually been done.
Well, that's Ireland.
Is it, Tavi? Is that what you believe your experience of Ireland is?
I mean, I've always said when the sun shines, that's the caveat, when the sun shines, Dublin is one of the best, if not the best city in the world. That's my experience, did you know? But at the same time, like, I know some of the other actors are still in direct provision as we speak. So some of the people that you will see in episode three, we won't name them, but who you will see in episode three on Sunday are still in direct provision. And their future is uncertain because their centre is closing just before Christmas this year and haven't been told what's going to happen to them. So that is the reality of the people that you will be watching.
Okay, some of the texts coming in. I'm 36. I'd never heard of direct provision before now. Another one, though. This is sick, comparing the Magdalene laundries to direct provision. I don't know why they would actually say that, but has this taken you aback, Stuart, some of the reaction, particularly social media, online, when since the programme started last Sunday week?
Yes and no, in the sense of, I think there's a type of racism in a lot of countries, and in Ireland, Ireland's no exception. There's casual racism. I think some of the online stuff is there, and it's vitriolic. It's you know, people, you know, Tabby can talk better than I can, but it's there. I just think that it's nasty, but I think it's seems to be more of a particular thing, a coordinated thing, and I do think it's the kind of loony, like, you know, very. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah. Tavi, what do you make of all this sort of reaction to the programme?
I've tried to avoid reading the comments just because, you know, it doesn't feed me. So, but what's the point? Like, the most common one I've seen is, oh, you know, we've got our own problems to solve before we can help other people, and, you know, there's homelessness. And, like, my answer to that is, like I understand you can't incite empathy in someone who doesn't have it. Do you know? I don't think there is anybody who would have seen the picture of the little Syrian boy who was washed up on the coast and not felt something, you know? I mean, Ireland is a first world country compared to, you know, the Africa, most of Africa anyway. So there is no reason why you can't have a functioning asylum system and also not have homeless people. There's no reason why. There is enough money in the country, you know? So I feel like, you know, for somebody to say you can't compare it to the laundries, we're comparing it in the sense that they knew the laundries existed, but you didn't know what happened in there. In the same way, a lot of people know direct provision exists, but they don't know what it's like.
Just to finish, although the website and all this, this is a great opportunity for you to be star in this, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, I was, one minute I'm sitting in reception in Bow Street Academy for Screen Actors, and then David Caffrey walks in and went, yeah, she looks like a sex worker. That's it. The rest is history. Here I am.
Tavi and Stuart, thank you very much for being with us. Taken Down is on at 9:30 on Sunday evenings on RT1. You can catch up with the first two episodes on the RT player, and the third episode is on next Sunday evening.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.